Why doesn't the second noble truth include craving for the sixth sense, only craving for five senses? That's a brilliant question. Is craving for being, craving for the sixth sense, why isn't it included? The reason why it's not included, you know, some people saw that and they thought it was some mistake. But it's not a mistake. There's something really important there, because the craving for the pleasure of the sixth sense is the inclination to get the jhanas. Because the Buddha said, this is in the Arana Vibhanga Sutta, where he makes it very clear. He said, monks, nuns, meditators, you should distinguish between the two types of pleasure. There's the pleasures of the five senses, which you should avoid. But the pleasure of the sixth sense, he said, you should follow, develop, make much of, and not be afraid of. Because this is on the tape, to impress people, I know what I'm talking about, and I'll say that in Pali. Nabhayita bang, ase witta bang, bahulikata bang, bhaweta bang. It is not to be feared, it is to be followed, made much of, developed. So when you see that, you see there's something very subtle here in Buddhism. You'll find that your minds, your body will always seek for happiness somewhere. If it doesn't find it in the realm of the mind, it will seek it somewhere else. And then pleasures in movies, sex, whatever, travel. But if you can find that pleasure in the mind, then you won't need to seek the pleasures of the senses. It's one of the reasons why, as a monastic, as a monk or a nun, once you get those jhanas, then you are safe as a monk or a nun. You have a pleasure, so you don't want sex anymore. You're not interested anymore, because you've got a nicer pleasure. You can't just say, I'm not going to have any pleasure anymore. The mind needs that, like the body needs food. But we get that pleasure in a different way. You know, from the pleasures of the mind. Even, may not even be jhanas, but inspiration. Or the joy of doing dana. And it's beautiful sometimes when you give food, you know, to a monk or to a poor person. Or you see others doing that. Sometimes it almost makes you cry. For those of you who haven't done that yet, come over to Bodhinyana at lunchtime, maybe at 10:30. Well, we see it on the Katina Day. All these people coming to put food in the monk's bowls. You know, many of them, they get up maybe sort of 6 o'clock in the morning and they cook the really delicious food. Sometimes the husband complains. They never make food like that for me. But for the monks or the nuns, yeah, they do. And they drive all this way, you know, usually at least an hour, to feed the monks. And then they even wash up for us and give us a donation for the privilege of feeding us. It's incredible. But you see the joy in their hearts when they do that. And that's really inspiring. That joy of inspiration, of dana, of generosity, or of compassion and kindness, when you see someone do an act of kindness, which really just moves you, and think, wow, there's so much beauty in this world. That's called inspiration. That, crave for, develop, don't be afraid of it, develop inspiration. If you can do that, your mind will be very bright, happy, and meditation is easy. Sometimes people say, oh no, you get attached. The Buddha said, get attached to that. That's important. Get attached to the inspirations, the joys, the happiness of the mind, the happinesses of the nimittas and jhanas. Get attached to that. Because in the Pasadika Sutta, this is in the Digha Nikaya, this is a part of the Buddha's teachings, he said, if anyone criticizes you and say you're going to get attached to that pleasure of the mind, you should tell them, yes, we will get attached to that pleasure of the mind. And the consequence, tell them the consequence of indulging in the pleasures of the mind are four. There's only four possible consequences if you indulge in the pleasures of the mind. Stream winning, once returning, non-returning, or full enlightenment. That's what happens, said the Buddha, if you indulge in the pleasures of the mind. You become enlightened. That's why we should not fear those pleasures. So if you get inspired, indulge in it. Well done. If you feel like crying for joy, please cry. Don't hold it back. If you have pleasure in the meditation, sitting here, it feels so nice. Don't think that something is wrong. Go for it. This is a part of Buddhism. Somehow or other, people think that in religion you're supposed to suffer and be miserable. That's called the Puritan Christianity. Well, unfortunately, it's infected many people. Someone once defined the Puritan idea. Puritanism is the fear that somewhere someone is happy. No pain, no gain. That's the motto. That is totally wrong. And this was a great relief, you know, when I became a Buddhist, to go and see monks who were the happiest people I'd ever seen. At first it was weird. I thought this was about suffering. You should know suffering. The monk should be suffering. You don't understand the First Noble Truth. How can you understand anything else? But you saw these were such peaceful and happy beings. And that's what inspired me, because I wanted to be like that. And then you realize there's more to than the First Noble Truth. There's the Third Noble Truth, the end of suffering. And these were the beings who reached the end of suffering. They were happy. They were blissed out. Just wonderful beings to be with. So that's why, crave that happiness. The happiness born of letting go, of inspiration, of seeing the beauty, not physical beauty, the beauty of a human being who can let go, can be kind and serve others. That's inspiring. Please go for that.